91.3 KXCI Tucson, Real People, Real Radio. Hello, Tucson. Thanks for joining us today at 91.3 KXCI Tucson. This is Kathy Harris with my co-host, Aspen Green, and we're bringing you Broad Perspectives Radio, a program by women, about women, but for everyone. And you can hear more of our shows at kxci.org on our podcast page. Today, we're going to be talking about a subject that almost everyone is concerned about, our environment, and how to continue the enjoyment of our beautiful desert. We're lucky to have with us Lauren Knight from River Run Network. Aspen, I'm looking forward to what Lauren has to tell us.
I am too. So Lauren Knight has a BS in watershed hydrology and management from the University of Arizona. As a Tucson native, Lauren has a passion for the environment and the community in this area and wants to continue spreading this excitement for nature, water, and people through her work with the River Run Network. Lauren enjoys hiking, drinking coffee, and reading in her spare time. Welcome to our show, Lauren.
Hi, Aspen. Hi, Kathy. Thank you both for having me on today. I'm really excited to be here.
It is our pleasure. I want to start with how you became passionate about the environment. You grew up in Tucson, so it's kind of hard to not be passionate, I think, about the environment. But why did you choose watershed hydrology and management as your major at the U of A?
Yes, I knew from high school and taking AP biology and AP environmental science that I was really interested in that kind of aspect of learning and gaining knowledge in the environmental space. And so I kind of played around starting at the U of A with a biology degree and eventually working my way into the environmental science of natural resources. I eventually got my degree in with watershed hydrology and management. When I started to really look at the different options that I had to major in at the U of A, I was really interested in water itself and how that plays a role in everything else that happens in our ecosystem. And that is, it's a very foundational and very important piece of everything that goes on in our ecosystem. So I think that's why I really wanted to understand that baseline and how it feeds into everything else.
So was watershed management your first job in the field?
It is, yes. One of the things that you hear, I think, or one of the things that I heard a lot of when I was in college was, it is a little bit about what you know, but it's also about who you know. And so I decided that I was going to find an internship. And I found that really difficult for whatever reason, but I was able to finally apply to an internship at Watershed Management Group. I was fortunate enough to get an internship as the River Run Network outreach intern. I started working with Lisa Shipbeck, our executive director, on the River Run Network.
Well, that's pretty special that you started out as an intern and ended up with a major role at Watershed Management. Tell us what your role actually is now that you are working there and not an intern.
Yeah, so I worked my way up, which was really fortunate. I am currently the River Run Network Program Manager at Watershed Management Group. And so currently what I do is really help the Tucson community and people who are interested connect to our creeks and rivers. We do many different free events like creek walks, which are educational walks through our different creeks and rivers. We are currently doing a big effort to remove invasive species along many areas in the Tanque Verde, in the Rito, and the Pantano. We do trash cleanups, bike rides, and other restoration work around Tucson, as well as other parts of our watershed like Cienega Creek.
And when you say we do that, is that the people that work there or are you working with volunteers as well?
We do both. So we have the River Run Network is a full team of incredible staff, and all of our events are catered to having volunteers. So we ask people to come and help us with this work. And it's an educational aspect in the sense that we give them learning tools to help them do this work. And they get to help us complete different projects.
Okay, that's great. Does the River Run Network have a strategic plan?
We do, yes. The main one that I like to kind of talk about is our 50-year strategic plan, which the main goal is to really see our creeks and rivers flowing again. Many of our creeks and rivers used to flow year-round.
Is that with groundwater or effluent release?
Whether it's with, yeah, the effluent release or groundwater coming back.
It's hard to think of groundwater coming back. We've had such a drought. But so
Yes.
I met you when you were tabling at the Southern Arizona Symphony Orchestra performance. Sonoran Rivers is a new musical composition incorporating creek flow data from Watershed Management's Flow 365 monitoring program, and it featured a U of A composer. Can you tell us about that? How were you connected to that performance?
Yes. We have been fortunate enough to be able to do a partnership with the University of Arizona, the School of Music, and the School of Art as well. We received a grant to essentially create a beautiful music piece based on data that our volunteers collect on our creeks and rivers. And they were able to take that data on our flowing creeks and rivers and create a music piece. And it's called Sonoran Rivers, and it's a beautiful representation of what happens in our creeks and rivers. There is narration to this piece where they talk about different restoration work that has happened, particularly along the Tankaverde Creek. They also talk about and hear the beautiful sounds of the Santa Cruz River and Cienega Creek as well.
I love music inspired by the environment. So it worked for me. And I thought the Southern Arizona Symphony Orchestra did a really great job. I know the audience loved it. I do want to mention that our listeners can go to the Watershed Soundscape U of A website, which is air.arizona.edu/watershedsoundscape. There's several YouTubes and lots of information on this page. And I think you even have one more upcoming event on May 31st at Udall Park. So, getting back to watersheds, which watersheds serve the Tucson area and what is their current condition?
That's a great question. So we at WMG always think about the Tucson area as the Tucson Basin within the Santa Cruz River watershed. And so a watershed is really just an area of land where water drains to one point. And our biggest point really is the Santa Cruz River. So that's the biggest river that we have here in Tucson. And our other rivers like the Rito, the Pantano, Agua Caliente, the Tankaverde, all flow into the Santa Cruz River. And their current condition, it definitely varies. So, with our Flow 365 monitoring program that we have within the River Run Network, Flow 365 is a group of awesome volunteers who collect data on our creeks and rivers. And so, with that data that they collect, we put out an annual report. We've been able to do that for about the last 3 or 4 years, which is amazing. And so, I would say our current condition is we're definitely in a drought, like you mentioned, but we still see flow fairly consistently in some of those areas based on rain conditions and groundwater connection as well. And with the flow release that we see in the Santa Cruz River, there's some great flow there too.
So, what are the primary challenges facing watershed health in Tucson?
That's a good question. I think a lot of it is based around education and what people in the Tucson community know and don't know. I think our goal through the River Run Network and with Watershed Management Group is to help people understand what's happening and to not be scared of it, but help them take action in ways that is possible for them.
Okay, and what kind of action can people take?
We have a lot of educational classes that can help with that. So we do rainwater harvesting education. We also do child education with our Family Saturdays events that we do. And it can be as simple as we just put out another some information about the bucket and chuck it method, which is where instead of letting the water that you're like washing your dishes on go down the drain, you put it all in a bucket and then you water your plants with it. And that's a very simple thing, all the way up to getting gutters on your house, putting basins in your yard, getting a rainwater catchment system.
With the drought this year, we probably wouldn't have caught much in our rainwater catching systems. But, and is
Yeah.
that related to the River Run Network restoration workshops?
Yes and no. I think everything that we do is connected to support the health of our watershed. Our restoration workshops are focused in the Tankaverde Creek to remove invasive species.
How much of your job is education? It almost sounds like you're the education coordinator.
Oh, I don't know. I think I definitely enjoy the portion of my job that is education. I think it's probably 60, 40, and 40% of it would be educating the community, and 60% of it is organizing to help make us be able to do that.
Okay, how does the River Run Network monitor river health?
The biggest way that we do that, from my perspective, is through the Flow365 monitoring program and collecting data on our creeks and rivers. So, but we have almost 100, I think we're at 92 volunteers across the Tucson community who collect photos on a consistent basis. They go out at least once a month. Usually they go out weekly to collect photo data and surface flow data, which means that they're just looking at what's happening on the surface and not necessarily what's going on with the groundwater at this time on our creeks and rivers. So we have this beautiful, incredible, massive data set on what's happening at certain sites along our rivers.
Okay, so we're going to take a little music break, but when we come back, we'll talk about what gives you the most hope about the future of watershed health in Tucson, and what should our expectations be for the future of water in Tucson. But now it is time for a music break.
Okay, I think that's a great idea. And Lauren, the song that you have chosen for us today is All Good Girls Go to Hell. I love the title, by Billie Eilish. Did you want to say anything about why you chose this particular song?
I did a little bit of a Google search on watershed related songs, and this one popped up, and I really enjoy Billie Eilish as an artist, so I thought it was a fun choice.
It is a fun choice, and you'd never know by the title what it's about. But in All the Good Girls Go to Hell, Eilish sings about climate change. She wrote the song with her brother and producer, Finneas. In a Verizon live stream, Billie said the deeper meaning of the song is about global warming and climate strike. And what's really important, the song is about the world and trying to save it and people not believing that it needs to be saved. You know, at the ripe old age of 23, Billie Eilish has received two Academy Awards, nine Grammy Awards, two American Music Awards, four Brit Awards, and two Golden Globe Awards. She's the second artist in Grammy history to win Record of the Year, Album of the Year, Song of the Year, as well as Best New Artist, all in the same year. According to Billboard, Billie is one of the most successful artists of the 2010s. She also has a history of political activism, focusing on climate change awareness, women's reproductive rights, and gender equality. You know, it's hard to imagine what else Billie Eilish can accomplish in her life. It will be interesting to watch. But now let's listen to the song All the Good Girls Go to Hell by Billie Eilish from her album When We Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? 91.3 KXCI Tucson. That is an amazing song by an amazing young woman. And we're returning to our interview with Lauren Knight from River Run Network.
It's an interesting thought, too. When we fall asleep, where do we go? Now I want to know. I love Billie Eilish. So, what gives you the most hope about the future of watershed health in Tucson?
What gives me the most hope about our watershed health is the ability for our community to come together. I don't know if that's very optimistic of me, but that's something that I've kept, and that's something that I think we at Watershed Management Group do really well is still maintaining a very positive mindset through a lot of hard things that happen and that keep happening. But I think as we grow and as I meet more people in the Tucson community that have a passion for our creeks and our rivers and wanting to help them, I think it's really the people.
And water is a big issue in any desert, and especially the Sonoran Desert. So, how can we raise shallow groundwater levels and support the diversity of species that make the Sonoran Desert so special? I mean, you talked a little bit, but talk about the river restoration projects that are in place and how they work to conserve water, recharge the aquifer, and restore the Sonoran Desert.
Yeah. With this question, I really think about a specific area that we have, which is the middle Tancanverde Creek. It's kind of on the east side of Tucson, where Tancanverde Road turns into Reddington Pass. So it's very far east, but that is an area where we've seen groundwater levels rise. In, I believe, it was 2005, the area, the housing development over there stopped pumping groundwater. And ever since then, groundwater slowly started to rise. And in 2019, a homeowner in the area reached out to us because the area was flowing. And we had no idea. So in 2019, it was a fairly good amount of rain that we had that year. It was fairly average. And so I think she came to us in June, which is a very dry part of our year. We don't get a lot of rain in June. And she was like, "You guys have to come out and see this. It's flowing." And so we were able to do a visit in that area and we got our feet wet.
How much is owed to the people that lived nearby that started to conserve water?
Yeah, it was definitely part of it. And so that area is also connected to how much rain we get from the Catalina Mountains in that area and the Rincon Mountains as well. And so it has a lot to do too with rainfall, because especially this year, unfortunately, with the data that we've been collecting, it is not flowing, even with the lack in usage of
Yeah,
groundwater
I was
pumping.
wondering after this year,
Yeah,
particularly.
it's been a particularly dry, yes, we are in a major drought right now, unfortunately, but it's just a beautiful story of really seeing what can happen in our creeks and rivers over time, even a short amount of time, where yeah, people can make a big difference.
Yeah, I can imagine you'd be concerned with the development that keeps happening in the Tucson and the Pima County area. We keep growing and growing and growing, which doesn't mean our water supply is growing and growing and growing. How does that affect your work?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's still, for me in particularly, it still goes back to that education piece, because I think even as we start growing, if people understand different ways that they can continue to conserve water, where they're doing small things like turning the sink off when they're brushing their teeth or taking shorter showers and things like that, that they can support putting water back into our aquifer and continuing to raise groundwater levels.
I was always wondering because you would think that it would be important to maybe do some education in the schools so that at least high school students, if not even junior high school students, and even earlier, can learn how to be water aware and conserve water, and so that they can incorporate that into their lifestyles. Do you go
Yeah.
into the schools?
We at Watershed Management Group, we have our community conservation section of WMG that goes into schools. And one of our other staff members, Jocelyn, is doing a class right now teaching students about rainwater harvesting using the landscape. So they are not only learning about this, but then they are creating basins at their school to help collect rainwater to feed the different plants that they will plant in these basins and things like that. So it's really about working with the land that you have, and yeah, definitely helping people understand those different concepts of how to best do that.
Yeah, I know a lot of people move here from other states and bring a lot of their vegetation with them, and don't really get a chance to learn about what's natural habitat for us here for times of drought. Although even this year, I'm a little bit worried about how little water we got and how the natural habitat in the Sonoran Desert can deal with this drought. So what, we talked a little bit about invasive species. I'm always interested in that. What is happening in your efforts to remove invasive species? And I read that one of them is called Arundo donax, which is kind of an interesting name. Talk about those species and why they're considered invasive. Where do they come from?
Arundo donax specifically is from Asia and the Mediterranean, which is very different from here. Arundo donax specifically takes up 3 to 4 times more water than our native plants. It creates tall, dense clusters of stalks. It looks very similar to bamboo, and it's really easily able to crowd out our native plants. It has a dense root system that can increase risks of flooding, and it's really very flammable once it dies. So it increased the risk of wildfire as well.
You got to
And
wonder how it
so,
got here. How did somebody just bring it over, or are we importing these plants and selling them?
that's a good question. I think it was sold for quite a while as something ornamental. It grows really, really tall. It can get up to about 20 feet tall. And so people often use it. And even currently in our work, some of our areas that we're trying to do removal are on private property and they use it for privacy. And so it's a great plant for that. And so people really are interested in having it to make privacy walls and things like that that take up quite a bit more water than some of our other plants that might be able to do that.
Okay. So how is native vegetation being preserved or reintroduced along the watershed corridors?
Yeah, so as we are doing this removal, one of the things that we are also doing are surveys. So as we're continuously bringing up the soil and taking this plant out, what we are interested in is also learning what's coming back after we have done this removal. And so not only are we doing what we call vegetation surveys, so we're just looking at what's naturally occurring in succession, whether that's small plants like datura and other shrubs and things like that, but we're also supporting native vegetation in the areas that we're doing removal by replanting native trees like cottonwoods and willows that we would find in riparian areas such as the Tankaverde Creek. So we're kind of helping that along by helping to plant some of those trees as well.
So, if our audience members who are listening to this show say, hey, I want to help them out, I want to volunteer, I want to learn more, where would they go to do that?
We would love that. And you can go to watershedmg.org to find out more about all of the different things that we do and support some of these efforts.
Okay, I can't think of anything more important than water. For the Sonoran Desert. And I'm so grateful for what you and your coworkers and all your volunteers do to help us maintain and even improve some of our local watersheds. So thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us and explain to us some of the issues and some of the things that you're doing to beautify our area, our Sonoran Desert. Thank you.
Thank you.
And unfortunately, that is all the time we have for this week. But Lauren Knight, thank you so much for being here today to share your work with River Run Network and how important it is to our environment and community. We really appreciate all that you are doing. And thanks to all of you out there for being with us today. This is Kathy Harris with Aspen Green, and you've been listening to 91.3 KXCI Tucson Broad Perspectives Radio. You can hear more of our shows at kxci.org on our Broad Perspectives podcast page. And now, stay tuned because next up we have Boom Goddess Radio with Jennifer Davis Page. Have a great Sunday, and we'll see you next week.
And we're going to go out with Joan Jett's version of Have You Ever Seen the Rain?